please rise? And it came pass in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized into Jordan by John. And immediately, going up from the water, he saw the tearing open of the heavens and the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased." Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dearly baptized of Christ Jesus, let me tell you a little story. There was this old man, and he was taking a stroll alongside a river when he came up on a country preacher who was baptizing his people. The preacher sees the old fellow and he cries out to him, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" The old man looks around and thinks for a while, and finally he answers, "Okay." So he walks down to the river and walks into the river there before the preacher, and suddenly the preacher grabs him and dunks him under the river into the water, and he pulls him right back up and he says, "Brother, did you find Jesus?" The old man wipes the water from his face and says, "Nope." The preacher is shocked, so he takes hold of the old fella, and down he goes again, and he pulls him back up the second time, and he screams at him, "Did you find Jesus?" "Nope." Now the preacher's upset, so he roughly grabs the old boy, throws him down into the water, and holds him down for a longer time than normal, just in case. And finally he grabs him and pulls him back up, and he says to him, "Now, brother, did you finally find Jesus?" And the old boy's wiping the water from his face, and he's gasping for breath, and he says, "Nope." "Are you sure he fell in here?" Didn't catch the punchline, did you? "Are you sure he fell in here?" Sadly, this shows us just how baptism is misunderstood and misused. Baptism isn't where we go to find Jesus, and neither is holy baptism something that we do to prove to others that we are God's children or that we are more faithful than the person next to us or behind us or sitting in front of us. Holy baptism, as you have heard with your children, isn't my work. It isn't the work of any preacher. It's the work of God. It's God's work. It's God's gospel. 100% gospel. And he has worked this for your benefit. That's what makes holy baptism so, so important to each of you. It's been a great honor. And it will continue to be an honor and a great privilege to administer holy baptism to many of you and to your children and your children-to-be. There is no doubt that seeing a baptism is a blessing, and each time that we see a baptism, we are seeing a miracle. We see God at work, and we see God at work before our very eyes. Yes, we see a great deal with our physical eyes, which sadly can overlook many things that we should be looking at with spiritual eyes. Regrettably, there are too many, even Christians, who dismiss the great benefits and blessings of baptism when they begin to see this work that's done here as their work, so that they can prove that they are faithful, or that they're a better Christian, or that they are, or that they have found God. They are self-righteous. And whenever we do a self-righteous work before our holy and just God, that is a law. It is a self-defeating law. And as you and I know, the law will never, ever save us. It will always, always condemn us. That's why the work that's done here is not law. It is 100% gospel. Thanks be to Jesus. So therefore, it is important for us this morning to take a close look at our Savior's baptism so that you will now have a deeper appreciation of your baptism and the real benefits and blessings that you have received, not only at this font or wherever you may have been baptized at, because there God was at work. You have heard the text read, and the text that you heard me read isn't the same as you see on your bulletin insert. That's because what I've read is actually right from the original language. So let's talk about this. Let's think deeply, spiritually, about our Lord's baptism. Remember John's baptism? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus needs to repent? Wait a minute. Jesus had no sins to confess. We, however, as you saw with our dear brother Jaden, we are born in our trespasses and sins. We desperately need to be cleansed. We desperately need to be washed. As we declare before each baptism, and listen for these words each time we do a baptism here at Zion. This child then is by nature sinful and under the wrath of God. That's true. Prior to baptism, we are by nature sinful and under the wrath of God without exception. Each of us are born with a deep, deep need for baptism, for cleansing, for the washing away of sins. Yet Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had no sin. So why should a sinless man walk into the River Jordan and be baptized with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? Does that make sense? John knew this when Jesus came to be baptized by him. Matthew tells us, John told Jesus, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? So we go back to our question. Why is Jesus standing in the river? And Jesus answers. He answers John and he answers us. Let it be so now. Thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Did you hear that? For us to fulfill all righteousness. For us. Takes us back to the beginning, as you have heard Logan read from Genesis 1. There God said, now that wasn't part of our reading, but God said, let us make man in our image. Let us. And also, Jesus is looking at John, and he's telling John, let us fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is now identifying himself with the Creator, because he is the Creator, and he's also identifying himself with us. That's why Jesus is standing in the Jordan. Jesus has come to reconcile man back to his Father and our Father who is in heaven. Jesus knew that his life is to be the fulfillment of all righteousness. And the fact that he participated in a baptism, in a sinner's baptism, even though he had no sin, means that the righteousness that he is to fulfill wasn't for his benefit. The righteousness that he was to fulfill wasn't for his benefit, but for your benefit, for the benefit of every sinner, for your benefit and my benefit and for all people. Jesus provided righteousness for us, just not only in his death, but as he was standing in the river, and he did this so that we may have life and have it to the full. All the righteousness that is required of you so that you can stand before your Father in heaven was done for you by Jesus and freely given to you as Jesus was baptized. just as we showed Jaden as that blackness was covered with that white robe of righteousness. He even stood for you, dear one. He even stood in the river to participate in a sinner's baptism for you. Jesus identifying himself with the sins of the whole world. For at the moment that John was baptizing him, your sin and my sin, all sins that had been committed, all sins that were being committed, and all sins that were to be committed, were being poured onto the Lord. Or should I say, they were being poured into the Lord. And as this happened, his righteousness was flowing into the water. His righteousness was flowing into the Jordan and into all water, as we pray in the flood prayer, that it is a lavish washing away of sins, that his righteousness sets apart all water by the power of his word to wash away our sin. It is a great and glorious work, something that I could not do, something that you cannot do, nor can any man or woman do. Only God can do this. This is his work. It's his sacrament, and it's for your benefit. So as we confess in the small catechism, baptism isn't just plain water, but is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. So we see today, we see the word, the Logos, standing in the river, standing in the water. This is why he was baptized, and that's why we are baptized into the name of Jesus, even into the name of the Blessed Holy Trinity. And because of this, you and I, and yes, our brother Jaden, has been credited with our Lord's righteousness. We all wear the white robe of righteousness, and we will wear that robe into all eternity. Now, most often, and you know this, when parents bring their child to this font, they are usually dressed in white. Yes, that's tradition. And yes, those white outfits represent the robe of righteousness, as we showed with Jaden, that you have been wrapped in a white robe of righteousness here at the font. Through baptism, your sins are forgiven, and you are credited with your Savior's perfect life, his righteousness. You are no longer, dear one, none of you are a child of wrath, but you're God's forgiven child, his son, his daughter, and you have received the great benefit of being called his child forever. Another benefit of baptism is seen in the events that took place after our Lord's baptism. Mark writes, he saw the tearing open of the heavens and the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. Matthew writes that the Holy Spirit was coming upon Jesus. This same phrase is also used in Ezekiel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 19. And it describes the special gift of the Holy Spirit's power. Mark affirms this in verse 12 as he writes that Jesus was cast by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. The anointing of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for show, by the way. The Holy Spirit filled our Lord's human nature and prepared him for his ministry and his sacrifice for you and for me. Therefore, yes, you also have received the same gift in your baptism, a descending of the Holy Spirit. Now, we did not see a dove come flying through the door and landing on Jaden when he was baptized. But if you look at it with eyes of faith, there he is. There is the Holy Spirit coming into our brother, coming into each of you, coming into your very soul, into your very conscience, and proclaiming to you, your sin is forgiven. You now have a clean conscience, and you are God's child. That's why you're here this morning, by the way. It may surprise you that you didn't come here on your own accord. No, no, no. Old Adam doesn't want to be here. But it's old Adam who draws you here. It's the Holy Spirit who brings you here. And why does he bring you here? The means of grace. So that you will hear the word. And in hearing the word, your sin will be forgiven. In coming here, you hear what Jesus has done for you here at the cross. Your sin is forgiven. As he brings you, as he draws you here, you come to his altar and you receive body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. It's all the means of grace. The Holy Spirit is always drawing us, leading us to the means of grace. This is what he does, and that's all that he does. If anyone ever tells you that I have the gift of the Holy Spirit and God told me to say this and it doesn't agree with this book, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a different spirit, and that's a kind of a spirit that you want nothing to do with. So there's the benefit. You have also received the Holy Spirit in your baptism. And now the final benefit. You've heard this with our brother also. Jesus hears the voice of his Father. You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased. God the Father clearly is confirming Jesus as the one, as the Beloved One, who is the only begotten Son, who will become hungry so that he may feed you. He is the only begotten Son who will become weary so that he can give you rest. He is the only begotten Son who has no place to lay his head, but he will bear you up in his arms. He is the only begotten Son who will suffer and die for your sake in your place so that you will never have to suffer and die the final second death. Here is my Son, the Beloved One, and he is Jesus, the Messiah. And the Father declares also the same at your baptism. You are my Son. You are my daughter. You are my Beloved One. And I am well pleased with you. Oh, we don't hear this, but we do hear it in faith. These are the benefits, dear ones, of God's holy baptism. Just the opposite of what you hear from the world. Because the world wants to proclaim that this is something that you do. And if you do it, you will die in your trespasses and sin. But when you come to the Lord and he works in your life and in your soul and in your heart and in your mind, there is life and there is salvation. So in closing, when you witness a baptism from now on into the name of the Holy Spirit, now you know exactly what is happening. Despite the infant's inability to reason or to even understand, a soul is being set free. It is being wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus that he worked in the water there at the Jordan. The heavens are being ripped open, and the Spirit is coming down out of heaven into that child's soul, into that child's conscience, and washing him or her clean. And the Father's voice calls out, "Here is my Son. Here is my daughter. In you I am well pleased." Look with eyes of faith, dear ones. Hear with those ears of faith. And you will hear and you will see that through the washing of the water, you are freely given the benefits and the blessings of baptism, the forgiveness of all of your sin. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.